ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here at the Church of Salvation, Healing, and Deliverance for another biblical message. Should you desire to contact us, our email is cos.hkd7@gmail.com, and our website is cos-hkd.org. And you can pass this along for free and in original condition. I am Pastor T. John Franklin, and may our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you for joining us here today as we're going to be going through Acts 23, continuing, and looking at it from the angle of exposing the adversary's plans. And you know, it always is advantageous for those who know what their adversary is doing. That's why there's massive cyber spying going on. You know, China's been accused of industrial, besides military espionage, and they're not the only ones. It's going on all over the world. Well, you know, the devil's got plans for God's people. And every so often, the Lord reveals them to God's people. And the devil is thwarted and has to start all over again. You know, it is something you can pray and ask the Lord to show you. And just be careful how you do it, because you can't step on the other side and get into divination, and that's not good. Well, let's just start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you through the shed blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, we do bless and praise and glorify you. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity in which we can study your word. Ask you to bless it, reveal the means and truths, open our understanding, and help us to put it into effect, and take away any blinders, blockers, any disturbance or distractions that may try to hinder us as well, too. Lord, we also lift up to you the persecuted believers all over the world. They do need your help. Ask you to give them all sufficient grace. Give them a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit, leading angels to minister and strength of faith, restore their souls, give more power, might, strength, power, love, and a sound mind, more healed and deliverances. I pray, Lord, for those who are in danger, that you would hold them in the palms of your hands and protect them, Lord, from their adversaries. I'm also praying, Lord, for those who are incarcerated, that you would bring about a speedy release for them as well, too. And so in the name of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong and set over all of us partaking here. In Jesus' name, I break all curses, devices, witchcraft, psychic prayers, or honor against us. And I return them immediately to the original demonic sender. I cover all blood of Lord Jesus, and in Jesus' name, I loose legions of the spirits of the Lord, especially Isaiah 11:2, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of Elijah, and also lots of healing. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, by his blood, amen. Yes, we're starting off here in Acts 23, verse 12. That's Acts 23, verse 12. And we'll go through that section. I know it's down about 20 verses down at the end of the chapter, but we're going to look at this concept of exposing the adversary's plans. Because you know what the devil's up to. Didn't our Lord tell us in John 10:10? The adversary of our Lord Jesus Christ is the devil, and his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he's trying to do. He can't do one, he'll do the other. But you know, the devil is always out there. And he's doing it. I know some people want to stick their heads in a hole like an ostrich and pretend that if they can't see the devil, he can't see them. Well, that's not the smartest strategy, as you can imagine. It kind of leaves you very exposed to the devil. But with discernment, with leading of God's Holy Spirit, with the help of His angels, the Lord will protect us from the devil's attacks. And He gets the glory from it. So the devil gets many public humiliating defeats. God's people get set free, get restored. And you know, the unbelievers who see it and are marveled at the workings of the Lord, many of them will get saved. You can follow that all through the Acts of the Apostles. We've been doing that now ever since we started this book. And here's another example of our Lord working in verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. And now therefore, ye with the council, to signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring the young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." And so he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee." So then the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed me these things to me." And he called unto him two centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night. And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on, and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." And he wrote a letter after this manner: "Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. Now this man was taken of the Jews, and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army, and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or a bond. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and gave commandment to his accusers, also to say before thee what they have against him. And farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morning, they left a horseman to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, "I will hear thee," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Well, there we have that account. The devil, ever since Paul was converted, you know, he was always trying to kill him. Remember, he had to go over the wall of Damascus in a basket after his conversion because the Jews wanted him dead. Everywhere Paul went, they were always trying to cause him trouble. And after he was at a place that sent in the Judaizers, the ones who were trying to undermine Paul's message, they tried to get people back into bondage by saying, "You have to be circumcised or you're not saved." That's when Paul went to Jerusalem in Acts 15. And the church council there decided that they weren't going to put that same kind of bondage on the people. That was on the Jews. Well, as we look over this passage, you know, Paul has been rescued from the manifesting religious people who just kind of want to kill him. He's now in custody of the Romans, but they're taking care because he's a Roman and they don't want to get themselves into trouble. But see, that's not good enough for the Jews. They want Paul done. So they start scheming and conniving. And to show how sincere they were, they went into an ungodly fast. You know, you can be sincerely wrong just as you are sincerely right. A lot of people are sincere. Most of them are not godly, though. And that's why you need discernment to be able to tell one from the other. They were going to bind themselves, as it says, under a curse. They weren't going to eat or drink anything till they had killed Paul. Well, you know, there are these kinds of things going on today, not necessarily by these, but by others out there. Those ungodly people who hate born-again believers, who do not want the spreading of the gospel. There's any number of devices they use. Ungodly praying and fasting is one of them, and that's why it's probably a good idea to break them off on a daily basis. I know people could say, well, they don't think they have to do it, the devil won't hurt them. Well, the devil only hurts those who are hurting him. So if most of the church world professing to be Christian, they don't have a lot to worry from the devil because they're not doing anything to hurt the devil. But to those who realize their full commission from our Lord Jesus Christ, as he did show us in Acts, or actually Luke 10:19, and as, you know, Paul did explain in Ephesians 6, about wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with those principalities, powers in the heavenlies. Those are the ones who realize that. That's the ones the devil wants to deal with. And Paul knew about that. The devil didn't forget Paul in Philippi when he took out his leading fortune teller. Acts 16, the girl with the spirit of Python, the divination spirit. And there were other times. He didn't forget Peter in Acts 8 when he took out Simon Magus, one who was bewitching the people, so much so that the people thought Simon Magus was of God. So So the devil, he's out to get God's people, especially the leaders. No, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So these guys, they want Paul. They want him bad. They're going on a massive fast, ungodly fast. They come up with a scheme. They're going to call that Paul be brought forth so they can supposedly question him. And then they'll just launch out. They're probably all going to have their... Now, as you know, there was this group of extreme zealots called the Sicarii, or the Assassins, who went around with their small daggers. And yeah, they did kill. Barabbas was one. Judas Iscariot, they figure, was one as well, too. So they would all launched out. Remember, that was kind of thing that took out Julius Caesar. Supposedly his friends came around him and made him a deal he could not refuse. But there's one certain thing that's going on here. They figure these people must have been in the house of Paul's wife or family, because Paul's nephew was there. And that he was there probably because it was his own house. And so he happens to overhear this scheming that's going on. The Lord obviously had arranged it for this young lad to be there. You know, he could have just sat around and said, oh, I can't do anything. You know, they didn't have 911 back then. So he does the next thing. Now, it's interesting. He seems to be one of the few Jews that was not against Paul. He probably heard of his uncle Paul, seen everything, heard of everything he had done, and he knew that, hey, this has to be of the Lord. So he knows there's nobody in that community he can go to do justice. They knew they were doing wrong. But you see, that's what happens when people think that by doing their will in God's name, it's all right. If they were concerned, they would have prayed about it and asked the Lord to show them what to do. But you see, they weren't interested in doing God's will. They just wanted to do their own thing. And when you put a religious label on it, well, doesn't that sound so nice? The problem is, there have been more people killed in the name of God all over the world throughout human history than any other cause. Yeah, it's not good. And that's why God's people got to be careful. You don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. If someone in your company wants to do something like this, excuse yourself. Have nothing to do with it. Well, you know, and also too, on a side note, I'd say watch out for implanted agitators. Remember when they had that Bundy Ranch standoff there a while ago, where the various government authorities were trying to take over the land and the people stood them off? The Bundy bunch then were almost afraid that the next step the authorities would do would be to send in provocateurs to infiltrate them and to stir up trouble. That's been a known tactic of ungodly authorities over the years. Be careful you don't get yourself caught in that stuff. Yeah, don't let the devil do that. You can read the persecuted believers behind the Iron Curtain. Dmitri Dudeman, Harlan Popoff. They went around the underground church different times. Government KGB agents or whatever the security services of that country were would be exposed by the Holy Spirit revealing them. And it's probably a good idea. Ask the Lord to expose the plans of the wicked one. You know? I saw a video a few years ago of an ex-Satanist who said he knew that most churches had been infiltrated by Satanists and witches, etc. He said most churches, not a few, most of them. It might be a good idea. You ask the Lord to expose that bunch, and that they either get saved or get out. You know, the church is for born-again believers, or for repentant sinners coming and want to change, get saved and change their lives and follow Jesus Christ. So you're well within your ranks to pray and ask the Lord to expose that bunch. If they won't get saved, get them out. I guess. They're only there to spy on you. They're only there to open up, cause trouble for you. You don't need that. So, back to Paul's son here. So he goes, what can he do? Well, he goes to the jail and, he tells Paul. So Paul calls a centurion. He tells him, sends the boy to the chief captain of the soldiers, who then takes immediate action. Now, here's another interesting thing. The captain, those in authority, were, you could say, neutral. They were not, you might say, in league with the ungodly Jews who were wanting to get rid of Paul. That'd be something to pray, that the authorities would be not biased against God's people, because as you look out, you can see many examples where you cannot say that God's people are getting an honest shake of the deal. And definitely should be binding the loose in overall levels of government, all parts of the bureaucracy, over the legislative system, the judicial system, and over the law enforcement system. And definitely pray and ask the Lord to put believers in there. He had Daniel in there, he had Joseph in there, he put Esther in there as well too. Yes, God has his place in the bureaucracy for his people. And definitely pray and ask the Lord to create favor for if you find yourself in going before any part of those situations. So the chief captain, he doesn't want a riot in his hand, and he's going to send Paul on privately to Caesarea. Now that was on the coast. That was a big fortified Roman base there, and a lot more soldiers there. Plus, it's out of the home territory of these troublemaking Jews. So, he packs up Paul with a good armed escort, I might add. Got cavalry, infantry, spearmen, the whole bit. To make sure that he's going to get there. And they set them off at midnight. The beginning of the third watch was midnight. The Romans had four watches throughout the night. Started at 6 every 3 hours. The Jews, before that, they only had 3, they were 4 hours. So it's like handy to know if you're reading, you know, Old or New Testament. So, off they're going to go. You know, God did not want Paul to be killed in Jerusalem. It was his plan. The Lord told Paul, you are going to go to Rome. And so the Lord has just exposed the plan of the devil to try and forth the will of God. You know, remember Paul was in Lystra before this. Yeah, they stoned him. They received the message so well. But it wasn't Paul's time to die, so the Lord just said, okay, Paul, you're raised. Come back to life. Up he gets, and he walks right back into town. Hi, guys, remember me? The devil never did that again to Paul, because that would have made him look even stupider. He killed him, and the Lord raised him up. If he stoned him again, the Lord would have raised him up again, because Paul had to get to Rome to witness to the emperor. You know, the devil changed his tactics. He's sly. He's not stupid, but he's very sly and slippery. That's why you can always pray and ask the Lord to expose the devil's plans, as he did here, against God's people, because you know he's got all sorts of things set up. You know, and we can look at other instances throughout the Bible, in Old and New Testament, of where God did expose the plans of the devil and turn things around. One of them is in 1 Kings 20. 1 Kings 20, start off with verse 1. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he said unto me, For my wives, and for my children, and for my silver, and for my gold. And I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messenger of Ben-Hadad, To tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for to thy servant, at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me and more also. If the dust of Samaria shall suffice, for handfuls of all the people have followed me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, Let not him that girdeth on his harness or armor boast himself, as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all his great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots, and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Now the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians, and went to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered, and were all present, and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all his great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day, but the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber, etc., etc. Well, isn't this interesting? This was with Ahab, the king. There was a time when he did follow the leading of the Lord, and till he let his wife Jezebel get him off track. But here, you know, Ben-Hadad, the Syrians, they wanted to take out Israel. They wanted all they had. And so Ahab followed the Lord's prophet. And that's an important thing. Follow the Lord's prophet, because there was another time Ahab went out with Jehoshaphat. And he didn't have the Lord's prophets. He had the ungodly prophets, and, well, he paid dearly for it with that one. Yeah, he was killed in that battle, even though he was hidden. But here, the Lord gave them a first victory, and then warned them, get ready, because the Syrians are coming back for you. You know, you go through the temptations of our Lord in the wilderness, such as in Luke 4. You know, in the accounts it says, and the devil left our Lord for a season. He was planning to come back. He was always just at an arm's length watching the Lord to see where he could get him. He was working through various people, such as Simon. You know, our Lord had to rebuke him. And he said, Satan, you know, be still. The Lord rebuked him. And so because the devil's plans here were revealed for Ahab, he was able to strengthen himself and be ready. If he hadn't paid attention to the prophet's warning, God probably would not have blessed him with a victory. See, God lets us know these things because the expression goes, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. You know, even our Lord said, you know, if the owner of the house knew what hour the thief was going to break in, he would be there waiting and protect his family and his property and his possessions. But we have the Word of God, which shows us a lot of the tactics of the devil. No believer can say they're ignorant. I mean, didn't Hosea say that many people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge? Because they don't believe the Word of God. Especially they don't believe what our, you know, Lord Jesus Christ has said. That's really too bad. Because our battle is in the heavenlies. And that's where we do really need to fight it. As our Lord says, our weapons are not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Those we do need. They are mentioned in the Bible. Now there's another example of how God thwarted the plans of the devil, turned them all around, and so much so the Lord was really glorified by this. This is in, you know, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's now with Elisha. Start verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place it shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, and not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Well, there's a tremendous miracle that was wrought by Elisha with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the king of Syria, he wanted to conquer Israel, but God was telling Elisha, and Elisha was telling the king, and so the king was able to avoid all those traps and snares and pits that had been set for him. And so much so that after a number of times, the king of Syria said, hey, there's got to be a spy in here. Someone's a turncoat, a traitor. People said, oh, no, none of us. It's that Elisha over there. Well, you know, when the ungodly are fighting against God's people, and there's a godly prophet in there, the doesn't matter how big the army of the ungodly are, they do not stand a chance. You can see here that God's mercy and grace in the Old Testament. You remember when Elijah was on the top of the hill in the beginning of 2 Kings, eh? And the king sent soldiers to bring Elijah. He was going to have fun with him. Except Elijah called fire down from heaven. And that took out 50 of them. The king sent out another band. Elijah called down fire from heaven, and there was another 50. Well, when the third band came, their captain said, "Oh, Elijah, have mercy on us." And God told him, "You can go with him now," because he had to pronounce something on the king. Now, Elijah could easily have done that too, but that was not God's will. You know, it's as our Lord said, you know, you treat them justly. You feed them. This is what Elijah told the king. He says, like you're heating coals of fire on their head. The people, they were convicted. They said they never came back to invade Israel again. The unbelievers knew they were spared by God's mercy. I don't know if any of them ever turned to the true and living God, but they'd never forget it the rest of their days. Yet they could have been vanquished so easily, killed so easily. And here again is a case of the plans of the ungodly being exposed, God's people being forewarned, and able to deal with it. Now, our Lord did tell people in, you know, like Matthew 24, you know, the signs of the end times, and that people then could be prepared for, you know, what was coming on. And you've seen a lot of those things already happen, but you know, there is more coming. One of the things to watch out for is about, as the Lord says, the first thing, don't let anyone deceive you. That's most important. There is so much deception out there, and it's getting worse. Deception is one of the devil's major strong points. God's people are not supposed to be gullible. Now, many Christians get taken advantage of because they're too trusting. You kind of got to be, you know, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You do need discernment. You do need to lead in God's Holy Spirit. You do need common sense as well, too. And the devil's got many snares, pits, traps, and nets of their prey, and ask the Lord to expose them for you, protect you from them, and turn them back on the devil and his crowd as well, too, while exposing all the devil's plans. Our Lord Jesus himself display this attribute as well. We'll see Mark chapter 2. Mark 2, starting at verse 1. Mark 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive him. Not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone," or God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to thee, sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it to this fashion. Yes, here's another example. There was somebody who had a need. He was paralyzed. One of the miracles is he had four faithful friends who were willing to take him to Jesus. You know, you have somebody who needs help. Take them to Jesus. Definitely be praying for them on a daily basis. The men can be anointing them with oil and praying for them. Yes, for praying for healing. Praying for deliverance. We're in the Gospel of Mark. You go through and you'll see there were more people healed by the casting out of demons than actually just the laying on of hands or speaking of healing. That's an amazing thing. Probably should be doing again these days. In fact, if you go down to Mark 16, 17, and 18, you'll see that still is the Lord's commandment for his people today. That's right, minister to the people. First preach, and be doing healing and deliverance. Even a bit of raising the dead as well, too. Wouldn't that be nice to have that happening again in the body of Christ? People being set free. Keep praying for it. In the Lord's time, it will happen. So, the four men are bringing their friend, the paralyzed, to see our Lord Jesus Christ. They can't get in. They bust up the roof and let him down. And where our Lord ministers unto him. You know, and our Lord says, your sins are forgiven. Being the Son of God, he was able to do that. But the religious people, they thought he was doing blasphemy. And inside them, in their minds, in their hearts, they're saying, hey, what is he saying these things? Now, they didn't say it out loud. They just, like religious people, they kept it inside for a later date. But our Lord says in verse 8, he perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He knew what they were up to. Being Son of God, he was never taken by surprise at what the devil was going to do. It's just it's like a cat waiting for the mouse to come out of the hole. He knows he's coming and he's just waiting for the mouse to come out. Our Lord Jesus knew everything the devil was going to do. The devil never caught our Lord by surprise. The devil himself was caught by surprise many times when he thought he'd try and end run around our Lord Jesus, and there was wait for him to whap him again. Here too. They were going to set our Lord up for blasphemy charges. But he put it back on them. He healed a man, told him, hey, arise, pick up your bed, go home. And that was it. He was healed. You know, the religious people full of demons were left steaming because, see, they couldn't do that. And the more our Lord Jesus did it, the worse it made them look. Well, he was just making them look what they were. A ungodly bunch of people who had a profession of being godly but didn't quite live it. You can read in Matthew 23 how our Lord deals with them. He put 8 woes on them, 8 curses. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Our Lord was not impressed with that crowd. But the people were. They glorified God when they saw this kind of things happen. You know, I recently read about a top Orthodox rabbi that, you know, he'd been looking about things that Jesus had done, and he knew from the scriptures, the Old Testament, that, you know, Hey, that's the son of David. That's the fulfillment of prophecy, doing those kinds of things. You know, Isaiah 61. And then the Lord revealed himself to him in a dream at night. He got saved. He lived to be 108. His name is Rabbi Yitzhak Kadumi or something like that. And he left a letter to be opened a year after his death. And he told the people, revealed to them in a message, Jesus is the Messiah. Many people got saved when they saw his statement, and they began to look at, you know, Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of prophecy. That's a good thing about the Gospel of Matthew, because it is written showing the fulfillment of prophecy. Many times it says, as it is written, or as the prophets say. And when you go through, check it out and see, yeah, this is the fulfillment of prophecy, right from the beginning to the end. And as our Lord said, you know, who else has done what I have done? I know not anyone. That's over in John 15 there. You know, of all the other world religions, who has done what our Lord Jesus Christ has done? Nobody. I know people are saying, well, when the aliens come and the UFOs, you know, they're a superior life force. Well, it's interesting. You know, people who have had contact with the aliens, the aliens want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And people who have had contact with these beings, evil spirits, they become very anti-Christian, very anti-Christ as well, too. Now, they're supposedly superior beings. Don't you think they would have a greater knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? The fact that it's the exact opposite shows they're not of God. They are of the devil. And many, many people are going and becoming deceived by them. Be careful. One thing that they have noticed, that those people have these UFO visions, they usually have a lot of occult experience as well, too. The one opens up for the other. Of course, everybody knows occult is not for God's people. You know, you can follow through Deuteronomy 18, 9-14. Again, there's in Acts 15, verse 20. Now, that's not for God's people. Never has been, never will be. Well, we have another example here of our Lord knowing what the devil was doing, his plans being exposed, in Luke 20, verse 20. Luke 20, verse 20. And they watched him, and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, you know, or we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest thou the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answers and held their peace. Well, here's another example, eh? They're trying to set our Lord Jesus up. And so they sent their spies in, you know, to try and see what he's up to, trying to set him up. Again, believers do need to be careful. The devil does send in his crowd to spy out our liberty. In fact, David, when he was dealt with that, you know, when the kingdom was transferring from Saul to him, a bunch of Benjaminites came up. And they came to David, and David said, you know, hey, what are you guys doing here? If you come here in peace, the Lord bless you. But if you come out here to spy out our liberty, the Lord rebuke you. And, you know, that might not be a bad thing to be praying. In fact, as people come, you should always be praying that the Lord test their sincerity to make sure they are really of Him. And not to say they are, you know, all of the devil's crowd. They could be just religious people playing games. You know, there are people who just bounce around looking for preachers to satisfy their itching ears. They don't really want to become more Christ-like. They just want to play the religious game. They're the ones who go to church to come away feeling good. As I heard a leading American aspiring politician say a while ago, God does not have us going to church to feel good. If the preacher is giving you a feely-goody message, he is failing in his responsibilities to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is supposed to be preaching the Word of God forthrightly and plainly so that everybody can understand it and work to get their lives more like Jesus Christ, and especially in this day and age, to deal with their sins. And the two biggest sins that need to be dealt with, besides unbelief and people getting saved, after that is sexual immorality and the occult. Again, back in Acts 15:20. Those are the two main things they told the Gentile believers to watch out for. And you can see in society and even in church today, these things really need to be dealt with. Definitely confess sins. Also, you get rid of the evil spirits. That's the main thing. Well, our Lord Jesus here in Luke 20, He perceived the craftiness of the evil. He knew what they were up to. They never took Him by surprise. And He was waiting for them, and He just kept snapping the trap on them all the time. They never won once with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's why I say, pray and ask the Lord to show you. Expose the devil's plans, how he's trying to get at you, and also where you have your weaknesses and your openings. Yep, you'd be probably be a good idea to pray and ask the Lord that, you know, whatever doors or openings you have to the devil's getting through, the Lord would shut, lock, and bar them. Revelation 3:7 to David. Yep, and that's important. And ask the Lord to show you where your weaknesses are and then be able honestly to deal with them. Most people, they are very shallow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim the name of Christ, but you wouldn't know it if they didn't tell you. Especially the way they treat the Lord's Day. The Lord's given us one day a week that while resting from our normal work, we can be spending all day in company with Him. And yet how many accept that invitation of the Lord? They'd rather amuse themselves. It's unfortunate. It's kind of like, you know, the Lord saying, hey, I have a banquet ready. Come on in. And people say, no. I got a farm to go to. I got a new tractor. Or I just got married. Shallowness. That's one of the big problems of the church. So pray and ask the Lord give you discernment to be able to discern, you know, the tricks of the devil. And don't trust everybody with everything they're saying. You see this especially in politics. A couple of elections ago, in the Ontario provincial election, a lot of grandiose promises were made. And after the election, a concerned citizen took it to the courts, and the judge ruled. And you can't force a politician to tell the truth. You can't force a politician to fulfill his promises. So with that aspect, take everything they say with a grain of salt. Also, go on their track record. You know, the Bible says if someone's suddenly changes his behavior from bad to good, be careful. You know, if they were a bad guy getting saved, yes, you would expect a change in behavior, but if it's just a change of the way they're acting with no salvation, you got to watch out for it. This is the day and age of making grandiose promises in politics to get elected. And be careful. Christians historically have been gullible gooses, have been preyed on by unscrupulous politicians and political movements to get their support, to get them elected. Then when they're elected, they just promptly dump them with an attitude of, thanks, sucker, I'll come back in 4 years for the next election. Don't get caught up like that. Of course, if you're binding and loosing over the politicians, well, that can make a difference, too. You can pray that the devil's plans be exposed. What are they really up to? What do they want to do? Not just what they're telling you to do. Yeah, you got to be careful. So we've seen the various examples here of, you know, the how the people, the plans of the wicked had been exposed, and God's sides, the prophets, they were just racing around the devil's crowd. God was glorified all the time. I remember a number of years ago, we were delivered, so it was probably about 25 years ago, you know, we were praying, ask the Lord, you know, expose the plans of the wicked ones so we could pray better. And one day, we were praying for a guy, and all of a sudden, something changed. You could tell it was like, hey, there's a different demon in there. Well, you know, this is a tactic the demons will sometimes use, you know, when someone's getting a lot of deliverance, they'll send in another demon out of the heavenlies to, you know, mess up deliverance, you know, solve damage control. It's like, immediately bound up that demon, said, hey, you're bound in there, demons, you get permission to leave. Well, the demon started squawking. I said, why did you come in? Well, he was sent in to mess up the deliverance, and we did go after his name, and he came back. He was a high world ruler called the Illumined One. Probably big ruler of the Illuminati. Why he was sent into this person, we don't know, but there's obviously something the devil wanted to protect. And, you know, when you get hold of a critter like that, you know, he says, well, you came in here to mess us up, the Lord let you come down, so we're gonna interrogate from a godly point of view, I might add. Now, we didn't get into divination and say all these, what are all these future things going on? You got to watch out for that, because you can get into serious trouble. They just said, what are you doing now? What are your plans now? And that critter was telling us a lot of things. We knew that the Berlin Wall was going to come down 6 months before it came down, because that's what the devil and his crowd were working on. And other things as well, too. That's why it's important to be binding over the plans of the devil and ask the Lord to cancel them, to turn them back. Especially what he's planning to do for the church. You know, the devil wants to destroy the church. I mean, our Lord's told us that many times in the Bible, again, Matthew 24. And so, you know, with binding and loosing, with using the weapons of our warfare, you exercising the authority the Lord has given us in Luke 10:19. You can really play havoc in the devil's kingdom. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, just people using their authority over the power of the devil. When you say, I bind you in Jesus' name, he's bound. What we're binding here on earth is bound in heaven. And when you loose the Spirit of the Lord here, they're loose in heaven as well, too. So that's what God's wanting us, his people, to be doing in this day and age. He's commanded us to in the Great Commission, Mark 16, 17, and 18. And yes, when you start serving the Lord like that, the devil's going to hit you as hard as he can. So you can be praying for protection also, ask the Lord to show you. Expose the plans the devil's got, trying to thwart you, your family, your ministry, your church, so that you can be prepared for it. Because to be, you know, forearmed comes after being forewarned. When you know which way the devil's coming, you're waiting for him to snap him, with the glory being the Lord's. But first you've got to be following the Lord close and tight. The devil's going to be shaking hard to get you off track as much as he can. But remember, the battle is the Lord's. Remember? Psalm 68, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. So let God's people go forth remembering that. The victory is the Lord's. So, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
I would like to thank everybody for joining me here today as we study the Word of God. Aren't there so many blessings and promises in it that God has for us? But the best one he has is eternal life. It's free, and it's offered to everybody. I would challenge everybody to examine themselves, as Paul said, to see if they be in the faith. And if things are lacking, there's no better day than today, because today is the day of salvation. I know the devil will tell you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to win anything. Well, says Romans 14:12, everybody is going to have to give account of themselves. Everybody. In case the devil tries sin, you're not that bad. Well, it's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being good is not good enough. You have to be godly. And you can only do it through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord shows us there's two options. Yeah, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. That's the way it is. There's two choices. It's God's way or it's the other way. The other way is no good. You don't want that. I don't want to see anyone go that way, but you know, because of the sin of Adam, that's where humanity is going. Everybody is going that road until they get born again. You say, well, is it really like that? Well, you know, there's Romans 6:23. Yep. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. You know, that's followed up Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. So, what's it going to be? I want the best for everybody. You want to maximize your manhood or your womanhood? You got to do it the way our Lord Jesus Christ says. You know, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one, convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn away? The devil's best lie is, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You can get saved an hour before you die. Those people who go that road, they usually never get around to it, because many times they die suddenly, and they just don't have time for that. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, if you had the winning multi-million dollar ticket, you would be running down to collect it immediately. You know, that's what eternal life is. It's better than that, because it can't be taxed. Your bank's not going to go under and take your money. Your treasure's in heaven. You're going to collect everything when you go to be there. But you know, you got to confess your sin. You got to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Call upon him as your Lord and Savior. You know, he's knocking at the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will enter and come in with him. Yeah? The Lord is waiting for you to invite him in. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Well, God's Holy Spirit will come into you upon salvation, will clean up your spirit, and will seal you under the day of redemption. Yes, right. You know, when you leave this world because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be up in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be floating around in nothingness, no purgatory. you go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. And it is eternal security because of John 10:27-28, where our Lord himself says, nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody's greater than us, our Lord said. You can take that to the bank. So what are you going to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today. Come. Matthew 11:28-30. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of all that's going on in the world? Aren't you tired of leading a defeated life? Why not come to our Lord Jesus Christ? He shed his blood for you on Calvary's cross. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want this everlasting life, a little simple prayer, just like a little child can do. Lord Jesus Christ, if I have never really asked you into my heart and into my life, I'm asking you here now to come in and to save me from all my sins. And when you do that, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the book of life. And as Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Yes, your spirit sealed. And when you leave here, you'll go to be with our Lord forever. And in this life, God's Holy Spirit will work in you, helping you to mortify the flesh, helping you to be more like Jesus so you can do the works of Jesus, so you can be more glorifying to our Heavenly Father. Where can you get a better deal like that? Just ain't one around. So again, I urge you today, before it is too late, seek out the Lord. For those who are born again that have fallen by the wayside, confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Your sins that you've committed, sins, will be forgiven. I urge you, seek it out. Do not delay. Be diligent in it. Our Lord has his loving arms open to you. He wants you to come back into the fold. So again, may the Lord grant you the grace and the mercy and peace to be able to follow through this, because it's the best thing that will ever happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.